This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Going to your local polling station and casting a ballot should be simple, but what if you're no longer living in the neighborhood you're registered in? For some people, that happens when they're deployed overseas by the military. Others choose to move, of course, and yet more are displaced domestically by natural disasters like Hurricane Ike. We're going to pick up our series on voting with a look at overseas and displaced voters. Joining us now is Mark Sawyer. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of California, Los Angeles. Thanks for coming in the studios.
Thank you, Farai.
So voting in the U.S. can be complicated, but what's the process for voting in U.S. elections but from overseas?
Normally, people work that process out either with their state or through the embassy. One of the problems with voting in the U.S. is that we don't have any standard rules. Rules vary from state to state and locality to locality. So it's a veritable mishmash of rules, regulations, that really don't have any consistency from one place to the next. So the advice is that each voter really needs to try and connect with their local registrar of voters or their county clerk or whoever handles elections and find out what they need to do in order to vote and do so as early as possible.
Now, how important is the overseas vote? That came up a lot in previous elections, you know, with President Bush and military ballots, for example, being an important factor. But this time around, do you think the overseas vote, military and non-military, is going to make a difference?
Any amount of votes can make a difference if a state is close. One of the things that's going on is that our voting systems have a substantial margin of error. And sometimes, like the 2000 election, the outcome is within that margin of error. And in that sense, then any votes, and particularly votes that we aren't quite clear on how to handle, like overseas votes, military votes that come in late, et cetera, raise doubts and questions about the nature of the election.
All right, Mark, we're going to bring in Susan Jaduszewska-Swina. She's the president of the Overseas Vote Foundation. It's a nonpartisan voter service for U.S. citizens living abroad. And she's in Munich, Germany. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Thanks for having me today.
So you've been overseas for 15 years, and how do you find the process of voting? I mean, is it easy? Is it hard?
Well, I'm not sure you know much about Overseas Vote Foundation. We actually have taken what is a federal program. The Overseas Voting Program is run under the Uniformed and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act, and there is a book of guidelines that's put out by the Federal Voting Assistance Program, an agency in Washington, and they publish the state-by-state guidelines. There is some commonality across the federal level, and voters do use the same form across all states. What Overseas Vote Foundation has done is we've taken that form and all the different variations that the states have in terms of implementing the regulations, and we've automated that. So voting has really changed from overseas. We run 17 websites, and we've had over 3 million, actually over 3.5 million overseas visitors come to our site this year. Things have really changed, and they've changed through technology.
So basically, you can be a clearinghouse for information just as there are domestic clearinghouses where people can go and register to vote for every state. I mean, at this point, though, you know, there is a closing of the voter registration window. Most states are progressing to the point. Some you can register up to the very last minute, but many of them, some of them have already passed their voter registration deadline. So I'm assuming that depending on where the people living overseas are from, some of them may, if they haven't registered yet, it's just too late.
Well, that's true, but there are so many variations, as Mr. Sawyer was saying. It's really important that people don't take for granted that they can't vote. For example, if you are on the rolls as a registered voter, then you simply need to file the standard form as what's called a ballot request. And you might have up to election day to do that, which means you could get online in 10 minutes, have that form, fax it over, follow up by mail, and then the next day turn around and use the online ballot that we have and ship it over with FedEx. So all of these things are possible very quickly now with the use of technology. I really do want to emphasize that the paradigm has changed this year, and the result may be surprising.
Speaking of results, Mark, who's responsible for tallying up overseas votes? And, I mean, is it done in a timely manner?
Probably not. And that, again, that depends on state by state, county by county. The votes go to those places. And across the United States, there's a wide variation in how individual ballots are handled, what kind of ballots are handed out. The thing is that people who are either displaced for various reasons, who are overseas, really have to be proactive about trying to make sure they get their vote in and getting their vote counted.
Susan, are you ever concerned, or does your group ever deal with the question of what happens to the votes once they're delivered?
Well, we're pretty familiar with the laws. And legally, every vote has to be counted, whether it comes from overseas or from next door to the election office. And we know that's the truth. Now, some ballots, may get counted later. Many states now have extended deadlines for receiving the absentee ballots from overseas. So if they're postmarked from overseas in time by Election Day, they can still arrive at the election office for sometimes up to 2 weeks after the election, but they are counted. Every single major election year, the U.S. Election Assistance Commission does what they call an Election Day survey, although the results come out far after Election Day. And at that point, every county is required to report up on how many requests they received for absentee overseas ballots, how many of those they sent out, how many were returned deliverable or returned voted, and how many were returned undeliverable, how many were rejected. So this is a law. I mean, it is a requirement. I'm dismayed, and I know a lot of voters are dismayed from all the rumors that their votes don't get counted. That I frankly don't believe it.
What would you like to see change, if anything, in the policies and the way this overseas voting is run?
What we'd like to see is that all states have the same requirements. Right now, you might have a couple that live together. They both vote in different states for the very reason that they both moved from different states. You vote as an overseas voter in the last state you lived in. So that's your last voting residence address. And that's the address you use when you register. Well, the variation in requirements between those two states, although it's the same voting program, it might be quite different. You might have extra questions in some states. Now, fortunately, we've programmed all that into our website at overseasvotefoundation.org, but still, there's a benefit to some uniformity. So making those laws really uniform in their implementation at the state level, that would be an advancement forward. And then unifying the way that ballots and voting materials can be transmitted. Right now, in one state, you might be able to receive a blank ballot by email, which cuts weeks off the delivery time, depending on where you are. But in another state, it might be just paper. For example, New York, paper only. They won't even take a fax.
That is kind of an unusual state to think of doing that. But we're going to have to let you go. But, of course, we're going to link to your information from your organization on our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. So thank you.
Thank you.
That was Susan Jaduszewska-Swina. She's the president of a nonpartisan voter service, the Overseas Vote Foundation, and she was speaking to us from Munich, Germany. So